you've spent a lot of time with technology companies, and so do we from a brand standpoint. One of the things that happens from an evolution standpoint is that these brands all of a sudden become a plethora of different product names or brands. And with the remaining time, I thought it'd be good for you to kind of explain methodology and philosophy as it relates to architecture, you know, master brand, house of brands, and how most companies can really look at, because we see a lot of waste in energies and managing a whole portfolio of brands that may not even be brands. So maybe talk with the listeners a little bit about your experience, architecture and technology branding within products and names.
Right, yeah, that's a great one, Ray. The tech field that I've been in primarily, there are a lot of engineers who can really relate to this architecture metaphor, so I find it helps when I'm working to try to build a process that gets us to a better outcome. But having a coherent brand architecture provides a structure and consistency to the overall branding process. You have to start with what's going to be the overall overarching brand strategy. You can use a master brand strategy like Lexus and, you know, designate different, you know, product lines with just numbers. Or you're going to have a house of brands. The P&G is pretty famous for that. Or you could have an endorsed approach. You know, Microsoft has pioneered that as well. You see both the brand name, like Xbox, as well as Microsoft or Windows. So the next thing you want to look at is the brand architecture. Having some level of hierarchy when you've got multiple products that define the relationship between the company brand and all the product brands or sub-brands, if you will. And one key structural consideration I've learned is to not to create too many levels in brand architecture. You know, most people have difficulty keeping more than two levels in their heads. So it's best to manage to what I would call a streamlined brand architecture. Today, the average consumer probably processes 100,000 pieces of information on a monthly basis, and they're just more inundated with this information, which necessarily reduces their attention level to any individual piece of information. It becomes brief. So you've got to make it easier for your customers and your prospects to understand, identify your brand and brand naming. If you've got too many levels, it kind of gets in the way. The second issue you brought up, Ray, is product naming. If you're a P&G and you can afford to spend $100 million to launch a new product or brand, go ahead. Create a proprietary name that is trademarkable, unique to you. But if you're like most companies that I've worked with, such a level of investment is inconceivable. So I recommend going with either a descriptive product names or perhaps suggestive ones. This supports brand or product extension goals as well, because customers can more easily relate existing frame of reference than a new one that each proprietary name might require. So an overriding principle would be simplicity and customer understanding as a driving force in all your naming decisions.